From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jennifer Ludden. In London today, Iraq's interim prime minister, Ayed Alawi, vowed to go ahead with national elections in January, even though the UN Secretary General has said the ongoing insurgency may make this impossible. Alawi says the insurgents are making their last stand.
We are squeezing at the insurgency. We are extending an olive branch to the fringes of the insurgencies.
Mr. Alawi spoke on ABC's This Week before heading to Washington, where he'll address a joint session of Congress Wednesday. The New York Times today reports that U.S. military commanders are preparing operations to take control of rebel-held areas so elections can go forward there. The Times quotes an unnamed senior U.S. commander as saying the operations could begin as early as November, depending on how quickly the U.S. can train Iraqi security forces. We called retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner, a close observer of the situation in Iraq, for his assessment of this report.
I must say that the logic that I'm hearing bothers my military mind. Let me sort of talk as a military guy would say this. We've got places inside Iraq where the insurgents have a sanctuary, and we're saying we're going to wait for 60 days before we attack them. I mean, that's not good military thinking. It just doesn't make sense to me. And there's also the evidence that the Iraqi security forces are getting stronger. I'm not overwhelmed with it.
Have you heard from colleagues now serving about this apparent plan to try to retake these areas? Can you actually confirm what's in the New York Times?
What one can confirm is that current American strategy is to wait. Then you have to ask the question, why are we waiting?
So there should be an offensive now?
I think there should be. Let me say it the way the White House would say. You have to take the fight to the enemy where he is. You don't sit and wait for him to attack you.
If the U.S. were to launch offensives now, how many casualties would you envision? How difficult would it be?
Oh, sure. It would be very difficult. The only thing that you could say is they would be less than if we wait. That's the real dilemma we've got. There is no easy solution left in Iraq. If we're going to take the cities back, and if we're going to push towards that January election, then to wait is to make the casualties worse, based upon what we're seeing going on.
You've laid out an option of attacking now. Are there other options that you see, and what about the option of an exit strategy?
Gosh, I must say that I have been thinking about working on talking to people about an exit strategy for probably 6 to 9 months. And I have to say that I don't see one clearly, and I don't see that anybody else has one. I think that's why nobody in the election is talking about them.
If the U.S. and Iraqi forces are not able to take control of these rebel-held areas,
sure,
how smart is it to then go ahead with elections? And can you call them off at that point?
Yeah, I think we will call them off. I don't think you can have elections and not have a major portion of the population participate. Alawi keeps saying that we're going to have elections. I think part of it's politics. He knows that we have November date coming up in the U.S., and nobody's going to say anything otherwise until after November, even though everyone may begin to recognize the truth.
Sam Gardner, a retired Air Force colonel, thank you so much.
Certainly.
We also spoke with Fawaz Jerjes, a professor of Middle Eastern Studies at Sarah Lawrence College. We asked about the significance of reports that the Association of Muslim Scholars in Iraq will boycott the January elections.
If the Sunni Arab community does not participate in the elections, as seems to be the case, I think the very legitimacy of the elections would be at stake, and violence would likely increase, plunging Iraq into civil war. And this is the, as we know, the worst-case scenario.
Well, if the political process does move along, we have President Bush and the Iraqi interim prime minister insisting that it will, is it possible that the mood among Sunnis could change, that they could decide, you know, it's not to our benefit to boycott, we better get in on the game here?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the first priority of the Ayed Alawi government is to build bridges to all Iraqi communities and reassuring that they have a stake in the future of their country. The point I would like to stress here, Jennifer, is that winning the hearts and minds of dissatisfied Sunnis and Shiites cannot be accomplished by paying lip service to the rhetoric of inclusion and reconciliation. For example, members of the Association of Muslim Scholars complain that the Prime Minister has not even bothered to meet with the association. If the Prime Minister is serious and genuine about weaning away mainstream Iraqi insurgents, he must meet with opinion makers and civil society leaders, including leaders of the insurgents, like those of the Association of Sunni Clerics.
Are you saying there's a tie between this association and the insurgency?
No doubts about it. Members of the association basically express their sympathy to the insurgency. And we have reports of certain connections between members of the association and the insurgents. So in many ways, I would argue, the association gives public voice not only to Sunni Arab public opinion, but also to the bulk of the Sunni-dominated insurgency.
We've heard Prime Minister Alawi talk about extending an olive branch. Do you see him making such moves?
I am very skeptical. It seems to me that even Prime Minister Alawi talks about the need for inclusion and reconciliation. He has undermined peace deal with the fiery Shiite leader Muqtada Sadr. He has been using force without even consulting some of his leaders. Even the most powerful cleric in Iraq, Ali Sistani, felt the need to warn Alawi against the rush for the use of force and violence and tells Alawi, please use more politics, more persuasion, more inclusion, more reconciliation. Let's hope that Prime Minister Alawi translates his rhetoric into concrete political currency, not just rhetoric.
If the United States were to go in and launch an all-out counterattack to retake these rebel areas, what would the political cost of that be?
Well, the political and the human costs, in my opinion, would be devastating. How would you force the Sunni community to participate in the political process? How about the thousands of casualties? I think the key to this particular crisis is more politics, not less politics, and more force and violence. If the purpose of military strategy is to integrate the Sunni community into the political process, I believe that a frontal assault by American power could produce the opposite results from the intended consequences, that is, bringing in the Sunni community into the political process.
Fawaz Jerjes teaches Middle Eastern Studies at Sarah Lawrence College. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.